Years ago, I attended a conference at the Montreat Conference Center in North Carolina, where every Friday night there is a barn dance, featuring good old-fashioned square dancing and mountain circle dancing. Well, this is not exactly my usual cup of tea, but I summoned my courage and went down to the barn and joined in the dance. If any of you have ever been to dances like this, you undoubtedly know the dance step called the Grand Right and Left, a sequence in which dancers meet each other hand over hand while traveling in opposite circles, in opposite directions. This time, in addition to the movements, we were invited to speak the words, "Thank you, partner," to each hand that we met. Thank you, partner. Thank you, partner. Thank you, partner. The simple addition of these words changed everything. It created a connection that mere movement could not evoke. It shifted our consciousness, our awareness, from self-consciousness to awareness of the other. It opened space for new relationships to grow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Today, we come to the wellspring where the stories of a restless missionary and a prosperous purveyor of purple cloth converge, and gratitude opens new space for the movement of the gospel. For Paul, getting there had been a circuitous route. Moved by the expansive spirit that took hold of the leaders of the early church, Paul set out to spread the word. Eager, passionate, and restless, Paul wanted to go up into Asia, but that well-intentioned desire was thwarted by the Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us. That path blocked, Paul then targeted a place called Bithynia, but hit a wall there too, as the Spirit of Jesus would not allow it. Imagine him tossing and turning as he tried to think about and discern where God wanted him to go with the message of Jesus. Why these walls? Why these roadblocks and detours? Picture Paul praying for direction until in the middle of the night he's awakened by a dream. Vivid as day, he sees a man pleading for help and somehow identifies him as a man from Macedonia. And so their course redirected yet again. Paul and his cohorts set sail for a place in Macedonia called Philippi. Paul embarked on the journey that brought the gospel of Jesus to the continent of Europe, where a woman named Lydia came down to the river to pray. Now, Lydia was known as a dealer in purple cloth, a businesswoman whose extravagant textiles were affordable only to the wealthy. As the text mentions no husband, Lydia was also known as the head of her household. And Lydia was known as a seeker, a worshiper of God. It's believed she was a Gentile woman who acknowledged Israel's God, but had not converted to Israel's faith. A believer, but not yet a belonger. Now Paul and Lydia are drawn together by this expansive spirit that was moving in ever-widening circles, creating ripples in the name of Jesus Christ. When their stories converge, Paul had been searching for the man of Macedonia, and instead found himself face to face with a group of women gathered outside the gates of the city by the river for prayer. When their stories converge, Lydia's heart was opened, and she heard something in Paul's words so compelling it nudged her from her place on the riverbank into the waters of baptism, along with her whole household. She heard something that moved her from her comfortable spot as a bystander, as someone who had thought about Israel's God and prayed to Israel's God, but that not yet given this God her whole heart and mind and soul. It changed how she is known, what defines her, and the ripple that will flow from her life. Now, Lydia will be known as a woman who was willing to listen to a stranger's testimony and hear the voice of God, the voice of love whispering her name. Now she will be known as a disciple of Jesus, a follower of the way. Most of all, from now on, she will be known and remembered for her gratitude, expressed through the gift of her hospitality, because the very next thing Lydia did after her baptism was to take Paul and his travel companions into her home, where she fed them, sheltered them, and worshiped with them. Ultimately, it was to Lydia's home that Paul returned after being jailed for proclaiming the gospel on the streets of Philippi. Thank you, partner. In her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, Anne Lamott writes that gratitude begins in our hearts and then dovetails into behavior. It almost always makes you willing to be of service, she says, which is where the joy resides. Anne writes that saying and meaning thanks leads to a crazy thought. What more can I give? We take the action first by giving, and then the insight follows that this fills us. When you are aware of all that you've been given in your lifetime and in the past few days, it's hard not to be humbled and pleased to give back. Yet, writes Anne, we can't will ourselves to be more generous and accepting, so it behooves us to practice being receptive and to be open for the business of gratitude. It behooves us to practice being receptive and open for the business of gratitude. Why? Because in a world of cynicism, skepticism, antagonism, criticism, not to mention isms like racism, sexism, and consumerism, the business of gratitude is like a pebble dropped in a pool of water. It brings us from self-obsessed madness to spiritual awakening. It spreads joy and peace. It takes us where we never thought we could go and sets us free. Practicing gratitude can be as simple as saying, "Thank you, partner," but it doesn't stop there. The world-renowned photographer DeWitt Jones tells the story of the day he got up very early to meet a colleague out in the middle of nowhere for a photo shoot. It was a frosty, cold morning, and as he waited and waited, it became apparent that their signals had crossed and the rendezvous was not to happen. At first, he was upset, annoyed that they weren't going to be able to fulfill their intention. But then he decided to look around and to shoot what was there. The result was a stunning photograph, an image that was featured in National Geographic. Sometimes gratitude means stopping the thought patterns telling us what is wrong, what is missing, and what we think should be happening, and instead looking around at what is. Instead, opening our eyes and our hearts to the wonder and beauty around us, being receptive to the gifts and blessings of this moment and these people. Practicing gratitude can be as simple as saying, "Thank you, partner," and it can be as eye-opening as looking around and creating something beautiful from what's right before our eyes. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop until it becomes the very conduit of the grace that sets us free. In a book called Discovering Community, Stephen Doty reports on an experiment he conducted one long and difficult winter. Each week he would ask himself, "Where have I actually seen Christian community?" And then wrote down the stories. At the end of only 4 months, the experiment had become a graced addiction. He could not stop as experiences welled up and claimed his attention. In one, he tells about a dance recital he attended at a college not far from his home, how the audience gathered on metal folding chairs, the hardwood dance floor glistening among them. He describes the first stunning solo performed by a young man who leapt, froze, and twirled over the entire floor, how he cut figure after figure until he stopped suddenly, just as everyone yearned for more. And then a troop of five women who slowly took the floor, mesmerizing with their subtle, almost imperceptible movements, stretching the eyes of the audience in ever new directions. And then a third dance, a jazz solo as sensuous as the first had been energetic and the second had been mysterious. The fourth and final dance began with no one in the circle. Old pop tunes crackled over the sound system. A young woman inched awkwardly into the sacred space. Then four others did the same. They met in the middle, laughing in pantomime, and gestured tentatively toward one another, held hands, and slowly began a circle dance. Over the next few minutes, the dance grew wildly exuberant. Suddenly, one of them grabbed an audience member and dragged her out onto the floor. Another did the same. Then one grabbed me, writes Stephen. Now the young and the old, the stout and the straight, an ever-growing number of them cut their own forms, made their own circles and fast-moving lines. When the music stopped, they stumbled back to their chairs, wheezing and cheering. We had been where we thought we could not go, writes Stephen, breathless. We had been where we thought we could not go. That's what gratitude will do for you. That's what it will do to you. And that's how God's ever-expansive spirit moves through you and me. For Paul and Lydia, the convergence of their stories did not begin and end down by the river with Lydia's baptism. In fact, that was only the beginning. A community of Christians eventually formed in Philippi as Paul met common, ordinary people like Lydia and her household, pulled them from the sidelines, sometimes from the very fringes of society, taught them the movements, gave them the practices of Jesus that demanded much and challenged much and gave much, and took them where they never thought they could go, to lives that were set free by the generous, reckless, community-forming love of Jesus. Later, Paul would write back to the church in Philippi a letter in which he would say, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." From the wellspring of gratitude, Paul writes these words that have rippled across continents and over time to land in our very own hearts. Words that reassure us of God's constant love, that pull us onto the dance floor of Christian community and give us confidence that what we do here matters. When we are open for the business of gratitude, gifts flow, the gospel is shared, and the ripples widen. God's good work reaches its culmination. Thank you, partners, and thanks be to God. And now,